And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Good morning, Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio. Who's on the line?
Good morning, Mike. It's Gina with the City of Palmer.
Gina Davis, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day. It may have already started to share some information about a topic that many people have some interest in, and that is money and finances. So right now, for listeners who don't know what your title is and what you do, maybe share that, a brief summary of what your role is in the city operation.
Okay, Mike. My name is Gina Davis. I am the finance director for the City of Palmer, pretty much in charge of all revenue coming in and going out of the city. The collector of the sales tax and make sure we get our property taxes and our accounts receivables and pay our bills.
That is a wide spectrum of activities. When you were just talking here, I realized that, yeah, you're the tax collector. Well, that's interesting. That would seem to be a simple task because there is a tax here in the city, a 3% tax. But it may be more complicated than just watching the money flow in. What does tax collecting really mean?
Anyone conducting business inside Palmer City limits is required to have a City of Palmer business license for the current year and collect a 3% sales tax and remit that on a monthly, quarterly, or on an annual basis. And, people forget, they get busy in their days or weeks or months and forget to do their sales tax filing.
Okay, so there's a follow-up, a gentle reminding that needs to be done.
There is.
So that people flow in. And this also includes, the Alaska State Fair, which is kind of this thing that pops up. It's a pop-up event, well-attended, a lot of vendors, and there's tax flow from there as well. Is that true?
Yes, there is, Mike. It is. We reach out to the State Fair vendors, and, we even go out to the fairgrounds and work with them there, and we try to encourage them to, before you leave the state, before you leave to go home, stop and pay your sales tax on your way out of town.
Okay. All right. Now, there's another form of revenue coming to the city, and sometimes people don't quite understand how that works, and that's real estate taxes. How does that flow happen? Because the borough is pretty much in charge of everything there.
The property taxes?
Yes, right.
Yes, the borough is the collector of the property taxes for the City of Palmer. City of Palmer has 3 mills for property taxes, and the borough does the assessing of that on the properties within Palmer city limits and is the collector of that tax, and then remits it to the City of Palmer.
So that's a very different thing than the activity that is involving sales taxes. Very personal. The city is involved with connecting directly with sales tax providers, but basically that's a very different thing from the borough sending that money and taking care of the whole process, as you've described it.
Very true, Mike. Yes.
Okay. So now the big question, of course, is relative sizes of these two streams of money that pour into the city. Which one's bigger?
Palmer City sales tax is bigger.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And since we're talking size, the budget has just been completed. you and the people who work with you there have had a big role in providing information for the city council so that a decision could be made about the budget. Palmer's budget finishes up on an annual basis, so we're now into the new budget year. How large is the city budget, or what kind of components does it have? Maybe that would be also good foundation information for people.
Well, the general fund, Mike, is about a $12 million, has a total of a $12 million budget for operating the city of Palmer. Under the general fund, that's where you have your library, you have your public works department for the road maintenance and road clearing in the winter time. You have the police departments in the general fund, along with community development and finance, city council, the clerk, and the city manager's office.
Well, that's quite a bit.
It is. Mm-hmm.
But there's more.
Yes, we have our enterprise funds, which includes water and sewer, and the airport, and solid waste, and the golf course.
Oh, very good. And these enterprise funds collect monies, and are they generally self-supporting without subsidy from the city?
For the most part, Mike, they are. And that's the definition of an enterprise fund is they are they provide their own revenues to pay for their services.
Okay.
So one hopes that an enterprise fund can sustain itself.
Got it. So beyond that, as with individuals, sometimes an entity is involved in debt. What kind of debt structure does the city have?
The city has currently a debt for the MTA Event Center, and that is almost to a point that is almost paid off, which is fantastic.
Right.
And then the other debt we have is with the water sewer fund.
Okay. And when we talk about debt here, the kind of debt structure that the city is involved with, it might be money owed, but it is worked out in a different market than the typical individual debt. And as I understand, and the percentage paid is typically fairly low. Am I correct in saying that?
That is correct, Mike. We currently with the wastewater treatment or with the water sewer fund, we have we call it bond debt, and our rates are usually pretty low, 1.5%. We currently have debt from the water sewer fund to the DEC with the state of Alaska, for their
right.
Clean Water Act funds, and then also with the USDA.
All right. So now to the good stuff. One of the presenting faces of the city is how to pay things. And over the years, many people would come into City Hall and bring in their paper and payment for their own residence, sewer and water fees and so on, business license. But you've moved toward a online capability. Maybe describe that and why that's been, why it's taken a while, but why it's so important to do.
Yes, Mike. It has. We've kind of moved into it slowly, but we have been online with our municipal online payments for our utility accounts,
right,
for water, sewer, and garbage. We've been on that since, gosh, I want to say perhaps 2015, I think. We started that process where you can go to the City of Palmer's website, palmerak.org, and you can actually go on there and pay your utility bill, and you can also set up your utility bill to be paid automatically each month.
Right.
Called an auto pay, and then you also can set up one-time payments as well.
Very good. So this brings us to the question of you're watching and making adjustments and doing all kinds of things to keep the money flowing in an coming in direction and going out direction. It's the council's responsibility to make decisions about changes in the budget and allocation of funding in particular. And as I understand, we've had many conversations with the city manager, and Mr. Moosey gets to direct that with some responsibilities that he can direct monies up to a certain level without actually having to seek council approval. Am I correct in that? That's the way the money allocation happens as you adjust for any budget.
That is true, Mike. There's a certain threshold for certain expenditures, even if they're budgeted. If they're over a certain dollar amount, it still has to go to a council for approval for you know, contracts and you know, professional services.
Okay.
With the city.
Mm-hmm. Now, every so often, and it appears like once a year, there are these people in dark suits that come in. They're auditors, and they look at things. How does that audit work? Why does it happen? Is it required? And how does the city stand as a result of the recent audits?
Okay, Mike. I believe it's in state statute that we have to be audited on an annual basis. And, you know, the auditors come in and they're kind of looking at a, you know, maybe a 20,000-foot view of the city. I mean, they go through the details, they do, making sure that things are posted correctly in accordance with accounting practices and according to governmental accounting practices, and make sure that there's no fraud going on or anything along that matter. So, and the city has done well. We had our last audit of 2020, which included the CARES funds from the federal government, and that was quite the extensive audit on the CARES funds, and the city had no findings.
Okay. And when someone says no findings, what they're really saying is there are no adverse findings.
Correct.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. Mike Malevsky here at Bekavich Radio in Palmer, Alaska, and I'm speaking with Gina Davis, who's the finance director for the city of Palmer. So I'm thinking, okay, we got this pretty well. Everything's good. There are these strange things that happen from time to time. It might be, some kind of emergency. It might be windstorm, flooding, whatever. And then we have the pandemic and CARES monies that flow in. These are extraordinary situations and extraordinary funds. How is the city set up to handle this? What happens when we have an event that results in monies flowing into the city outside of our normal budget expectations?
It always requires council approval, Mike.
Okay.
To accept these funds from outside agencies and then appropriate the expenditures accordingly.
Right.
You know, it's in the finance world, we kind of have to keep all this stuff separate from our general operating funds and from our enterprise funds. So, you know, usually it requires us to, you know, kind of keep separate books for that money, and track and document everything we spend.
Okay. I've asked you a lot of questions, and you've answered them beautifully. So I'm curious, are there other pieces of the work there in the finance department that I have missed that you want to make sure people understand?
I think you've done a pretty good job, Mike, of hitting almost every area.
Let's ask the simple question. How many people work in the finance department that you direct?
There is six other folks besides myself.
Okay. And that's been pretty consistent over time?
Yes, it has, Mike. It has been pretty consistent since I've been here. The city's had a total of seven full-time employees in the finance department.
And what we have found when we've had conversations with other people, with Public Works, the police department, and so on, the question of experience comes up from time to time because it makes a difference if someone is not only familiar with accounting practices, but also with the nuance of what a particular entity's accounting practices are. So you've got pretty good experience, or what's the status of your department?
We do, Mike. We have quite a bit of experience here with my staff. Customer service, that's a huge piece that we have where, we have the telephones, we have the city hall that folks come into to pay their bills or ask questions. My finance manager has some great, she actually has a background in computers and software development, so she's been a huge, huge help in some of the processes that we've done here at the city.
Oh, very good. Good to hear. Well, Gina, I think listeners, if they've paid attention to what we've been talking about, have probably, as I have, a clearer understanding of the city's finances and the role that the people you work with have in making everything happen. So here's the last chance for any comment before we finish.
Okay, Mike. We have one exciting news going on here in the finance department. Hopefully everything falls into place here, but we are moving to online business license and sales tax availability for our Palmer businesses.
Oh.
Starting next week.
Oh, I look forward to it. So if you're a business in the city of Palmer, what should you do, or what will you notice, or how will you know about this?
Okay, we'll be sending letters out in the mail, but hopefully on the morning of the 18th, possibly the 19th, Palmer businesses will be getting automated generated email to them about the city of Palmer's going live with a company called MuniRes, and it'll be it'll give them instructions on how to move forward to go online and set up a user name and profile and a password and connect their business, and then they'll be able to do their City of Palmer 2022 business license.
Well, wonderful. Wonderful. I look forward to that. We'll check it out, and then we will we'll probably be reporting about it here on Big Cabbage Radio.
Wonderful, Mike.
All right. Well, thank you again, Gina. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too, Mike.
Yep. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.